You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax and unwind tonight with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy work week flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, welcome to I've Never Said This Before with me, Tommy D'Addario. Now, I feel like I have formed a bromance after talking to today's guest because we bonded on so many different levels. I could have talked to him forever. Sung Hun Lee stars in EXO Kitty. It's the new smash hit show on Netflix that is taking over the world. Now, the show is about a girl named Kitty, and she travels from America to South Korea to reunite with her long-distance boyfriend at the very same boarding school attended by her late mother. But things don't quite go as smoothly as she hoped for once she arrives, and her happily ever after, well, how do I say this? It gets a little messy. Sung Hun Lee is one of the many interesting people Kitty meets in South Korea, and he plays the character of Min Ho brilliantly. He will have you howling on the floor in laughter. He is so good in this role. But what's so cool about my guest today is that this was the very first job he has ever booked in Hollywood, and he booked it off an Instagram casting call. You heard that correctly. So it just goes to show you never know when your moment is about to come, right? And to give you an idea of how popular the show became, Sung Hun gained over 1 million followers in the show's first weekend of airing, and since then it has tripled to 3 million. He has a really interesting background, having lived in Korea, Hong Kong, and the UK, and this is the very first interview where you really get to hear a different side to this, I don't know, a really cool dude. That's all I can say to describe him. He is a cool dude. So let's see if today we can get Sung Hun Lee to say something that he has never said before. Sung Hun, it is so nice to officially meet you. How are you today?
I'm all right. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm so excited to be chatting with you. We have a lot to dive into. But first off, I was doing a little investigating. I like to get to know who I'm chatting with a little bit before we actually meet. And something that struck me is what you wrote in your Instagram bio. Now, an Instagram bio says quite a lot about who we are. I firmly believe that, right?
Fair enough, yeah.
Okay, so you have a quote, and that quote is, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." Talk to me about that. Why did you put that in your bio?
You know, you're the first person to ask me about that, which I'm kind of glad that you asked, because it's a fun thing to talk about. So it's a quote that I got from... funny enough, I got this quote from watching this YouTube channel called Yes Theory. And Yes Theory is about these few guys in the channel where they go through adventures by saying yes a lot. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like self-explanatory, like Yes Theory. And they put into like different scenarios and just put themselves in different hard positions and conditions and go through some amazing outcomes. And because of that, I remember them saying like, life is either an adventure or nothing at all. And that really struck me as I was watching it as an audience. And I was like, okay, that's a really good quote. I think I should live with that, because every day is an adventure and I can't wait for the next day what's going to happen next. So I put that as my bio too, just to remind myself that, yeah, live every day in a fulfilled way. Yeah, don't waste the day.
So you're someone who strikes me as a risk taker. Is that right?
A little bit. Yeah, you got to risk it for the biscuit.
Well, I love that. And you certainly took a risk when you auditioned for the smash hit show on Netflix, EXO Kitty. Congratulations, man.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, it's taken the world by storm. You, of course, play Minho in the series. And you took a risk because your sister sent you an Instagram open call casting. And by the way, for everyone listening, your sister is also in the series. So when you saw that post, what was going through your mind?
Well, honestly, I just thought, because Gia sent me this post saying, I got pinned, you should go for it as well. And back then I was thinking, honestly, I was like, nah, like, what are the chances? And I was being so lazy, honestly. I think I was a cocky little bastard, wasn't I? But, so I would say first thought, you know what? Like, there's no way I can get it, right? And there's an open cast call. And back then I thought, it's going to be filmed in the US. They're not going to fly me out. And yeah, I'm in Korea. What are they going to do? Like, this is like too much for me. So back then I wasn't going to go for it. And then until there was like 3 days left until the deadline, that's when I started like memorizing lines and then just videotaping myself. And I was thinking, you know what? Yeah, I mean, what have I got to lose? So I went for it. And then thankfully, yeah, everything turned out fine.
Well, it's incredible because it's your first, you know, acting role in Hollywood. And what a role you booked on the series that catapulted you to international, you know, fame and stardom. And your social media has been blowing up and everything's kind of been just going right for you since you booked the series and put in the work in doing it. I'm curious to know, with a lot of success, I've certainly experienced this before, have you ever dabbled or kind of fought with the imposter syndrome, right? Do you ever kind of think or have thought, I don't quite belong, I shouldn't be here? Do you have those thoughts?
Well, I mean, during the time I was filming, I think I thought I was the only one thinking, maybe this role is a bit too much for me. Maybe I'm not prepared, fully prepared. But turns out, you know, the other class as well, when they come back from work, we would sit around the couch and be asked, we'd like telling each other like, oh my days, that was like the worst day ever. Like, I could have done better and everything. But you know what? I think everyone tries to be harsh on themselves. And in that way, I think people are trying to strive improvement from that factor there. So I think if someone is being really harsh with themselves, I wouldn't call it like imposter syndrome. I would just say, you know what? You're just trying to be a better person, or you're trying to just improve in general. So don't really think of it as like a disease or like a something so bad about yourself by putting a word into your mind. Just, you know, think of it as you're really trying to be a better person. So
ooh, I love that. I love that. It's pushing yourself to the point where you know you can go, right?
Yeah, basically.
That's awesome. So that first day on set, how exciting must that have been? You're there, you're filming it. But I know you mentioned that it was kind of a tough day and you had to get your bearings, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, because I think it's so relatable for anyone who starts the first day at any new job.
Yeah, so my first day, actually my first day wasn't so bad because I didn't really have lines. So like, it was just like seeing a whole set and like saying hi to the directors, saying hi to Anna, the producers, everyone there. Like, it was just nice to see the environment, get used to it. But the second day when I started to have lines and everything, that's when it kicked in. Like, the adrenaline just rushed in and my mind went blank a few times. It was just like acting boot camp, really, for like the first 2-3 weeks. It was like acting boot camp for me because I didn't know where to stand for the light, where to see for the camera. Sometimes like I would miss a mark, and yeah, it was just, everything was new to me. But I mean, I couldn't just sit there and cry, right? So I had to pick up all my shit and just be like, all right, let's get this thing together. And I'm here to work, right? Let's show them what you've got. That you've gone through so many auditions. You've waited for this moment. Let's not fuck this up and let's go for it. So that's when I was like, okay, I think I just switched it on and be like, right, I'm here to work. Let's do this. Yeah. But it was definitely hard because damn, like the amount of times I, forgot my line on that first day, I was like, ah, this is not happening.
Let's talk about your character for a second. Minho, he's confident. Some might say he's overly confident, very much cares about his appearance and how people perceive him. So what for you as a real human being was the easiest thing to connect with when playing this role and also the most difficult thing to connect with?
I think the easiest time I would say that I was connecting with my character Minho was to show that even if someone acts so flashy and confident in the outside, there's always layers inside, you know, the inside. There's someone who's always reaching out for love and who's sometimes lonely in a sense towards their family or with their friends. So I think during the times where I had to like show the vulnerable side of, you know, it was kind of easy for me to touch in and channel that really quickly, because I think I'm like that sometimes. And the hard part was, I guess, trying to act confident than I normally am. I think that's what got me thinking. Cause you know, like it was just sometimes for me, like personally, I thought very in a technical sense, if I act too cocky, like, will I look like I'm just overacting should I just be focused on, I look like a guy who's confident, so whatever I do is going to be act out as confident. So maybe I should just act as me. So it's just, I had to like balance between those two levels where I was trying to be cocky and confident at the same time, but not too much. I was really trying to balance that out.
LASIK. LASIK.com. Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com. A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared. It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You very much strike me as someone who wants to continue learning and growing. And I know, kind of pivoting, you have another project coming out later this summer, Gran Turismo. You worked with Darren Barnett, another big Netflix star. I've interviewed him. He's wonderful. And I was reading that, you know, you kind of looked up to him as almost like a mentor. You were asking him questions. He was kind of showing you the ropes. He was giving you advice and tips. And I think that with success, a lot of people assume that you know everything and that there's not really any questions to ask anymore. But you seem like someone who really enjoys asking those questions, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I think the one thing I don't like to be as a person is, for me, is act like I know something, like when I don't. I would rather be a baby about it, be like, why is that? Wait, how is that? And what does that mean? Like, it doesn't matter if it's even a single word of vocabulary that I don't understand. I'll be like, yeah, what does that word mean? Like, I'm not shy to ask, because if I act like I know it, then later on, when they mention that word or phrase or, then I'll be like, damn, maybe I should have asked like what that is. I don't want to look like a fool now. So like those type of scenarios happened quite a few times when I was young. You know, when someone like talks about some kind of things happening in the news and everyone just nods along and like, oh yeah, I've heard about that. I'm like, did I though? Like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Yeah. So I didn't want to be that person like as I was growing up. So, I didn't mind asking Darren all the things about the industry, or like things that he'd learned so far on the set and offset. And you know, he's older than me. So I ask him about like how he deals with people, with fans and like, people around him as he got that fame. So yeah, he was really helping me out as a friend and as a mentor. I feel like if I say a mentor, he's gonna be his head is gonna be so far up his ass. He's like, but he was a good friend. He was definitely a good friend, a good friend to have on set. Yeah,
we've all gone through the embarrassing moments, so that's part of life, man. That's part of life. I know a lot of people have probably been asking you, do you want a season two, and what do you want to see in season two? I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in is, here you are with a hugely successful show. How do you not let that thought kind of guide your life every single day while you're waiting to hear? Like, do you think about it? Is it something that comes up a lot? Are you able to put that aside and just kind of carry on with your life in a healthy way? Or do you think about it 24/7?
Oh, no. You know what? What I love to do is also watch a few videos like on Instagram and YouTube about motivational speeches or like people giving inspiring thoughts about their work or about people or about their life. So I would say, first of all, I don't really think about season two at the moment. It's just that, you know, if it happens, it happens. But I'm always the type of person where, you know, yeah, career-wise, I've always wanted this. I've always wanted to become this actor. But then before becoming that actor, I've always wanted to live life first. And, you know, living life itself, it sounds so simple, but it's such an extraordinary thing to go through, right? I mean, people take things for granted, waking up every day and smelling the fresh air sometimes, even if it's not fresh, like you just think that it's fresh. But yeah, like, it's like everyday living life can be such a great source of knowledge towards your acting career. So in that way, I always thought, live life first, you know, that's a great textbook, and use that when it comes to acting, and then, you know, things will turn out great in some ways. I think that's what I think. Live life, you know, meet your friends, have good food, go for a jog, you know. Yeah, live a life a little bit.
I gotta tell you, I'm probably about 8, 9, 10 years older than you. I'm 37, and I feel like that lesson did not, you know, sink into my mind and into my body until probably my early 30s, maybe mid 30s. So the fact that you are so present right now at this point in your life, I mean, it's no wonder you are where you are, and you're only going to continue to soar. That's a hugely valuable thing to know at any point in your life. But the fact that you're so present and clear-minded is incredible.
Thank you, Tommy. Like, oh, by the way, like, I'm just going to say this right now. I think so far, the questions you've been asking and the way how you talk, it's just incredible. I think this is the, I mean, no offense to the other interviewers, but like, I think this is the far most, like, the most impressive interview I've ever had so far. And thank you for having me, honestly. Like, this is great.
Oh, man, thank you. That means a lot to me. Listen, I started the show because I want people to come on and show sides they don't always get to show. I work a lot of red carpets. 3 minutes on a carpet you get with everyone, as you know by now. Mm-hmm. And I always leave feeling like, oh, God, I wish I could have dove into something a little deeper. So that's why the show was born. And when I caught wind of your show, I'm like, I've got to get him on. I know there's layers in there we can talk about. And speaking of, there's your background to me is incredible. So you were, I want to get this right, born in Korea, raised in Hong Kong, right? You studied drama in London, returned to Korea to complete the mandatory military training, and then pursued acting in the role of a lifetime happened. So how has this wildly colorful and vivid upbringing, you know, helped shape your identity?
Damn, you've really done your research. Like, everything was spot on. There was not a false note. Okay, so I think experiencing the international school life in Hong Kong was, I think, the most impactful thing that happened to me. I got to thank my family, especially my father for this, because of his job, our family moved to Hong Kong. And during the times I was in Hong Kong, I met just, you know, diverse people, different people from different backgrounds and cultures, right? Different ethnicity. And yeah, because of that, it really opened my mind up to the world, how big the world is. And it made me think, damn, like, I think, well, I mean, back then I didn't really consider it too much, but since I was young, I didn't really take things seriously. I took things for granted. It's literally. And, but because of all meeting all those international school kids and my friends back then, nowadays I realize how everyone's spread out in different parts of the world. In university, they went to their home countries or whatever. And then because of that, I have a vision where I can, all right, then I can go to these places for a reason, to see this friend, to see someone get married, or to see if someone's doing well with a family. Like, and it's just like, it made me think, like, damn, like, I really do love to travel. And I mean, back then I didn't really like to travel, but nowadays it really inspired me to think of in a global sense, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that was school, the international life. And I would say military. I mean, the military didn't really do much to me, honestly. Like, if you ask any Korean saying that, oh, military, like, how was it? And if they said, like, military changed their life, mate, nah, stop. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's just boot camp. Yeah, sure. You learn how to shoot. You learn how to fight. You learn how to do whatever. But it's just, I would say military would be like if you've read the books, Lord of the Flies, that's it. That exactly what it is about Korean military. Like everyone, like they're young, everyone's under their 30s. So I would say everyone there is like Lord of the Flies. Like everyone doesn't know what they're doing. They're just doing whatever they're being told. So it's a mess. So I wouldn't say that Korean military changed my life. It was just a fun experience. And after military service, I did like a year and a half of modeling. And during the times I was modeling, I started modeling because I just wanted to earn some pocket change in my wallet, just, you know, because I realized if I start acting as a career right off the bat, then I'll probably be starving or be asking for allowance from my parents, which I didn't want to do that. So the first thing I did was, you know, go on like these modeling gigs, like commercials and like photo shoots or whatever, just to earn some money. And then my goal was if I reach this number in my bank account, that's when I'll start acting. So I just really just strived for money back then for like a year and a half. I didn't really meet a lot of people. I was very antisocial. I just wanted to get that goal done so I can pursue my acting career.
Did you enjoy the modeling?
Modeling was fun, you know. It wasn't really fun. I did it for money. So yeah. It wasn't fun. Like, I didn't really have passion for it. I just kept that passion for acting. It was always at the back of my mind. But at the same time, during the time I was getting comfortable with money by modeling, it got me a fear. It got me thinking where, oh, damn, like, am I getting too comfortable here? I was supposed to be pursuing acting. Like, what am I doing? Like, and then that made me again focus on, right, reach this number and let's just start acting. Do whatever it is. Like, I don't care if it's a background or do something, let's do something. So, yeah, I think during the times I was a year and a half of modeling, I realized how valuable money is and time is towards me. And how hard this industry is. Like, even for modeling or acting, I think they're quite similar. Different from the money thing, but then how sometimes people can use you in such despicable ways, and where they would just, you know, like they would pay you this much for working 8 hours. And it's like, if I think back, I'm like, bro, I mean, you're a disgusting human being. Why did you pay me only that much when I worked for 8 hours? Like, there are so many people out there. And I just feel like because of that, I was more hungry to be successful at what I wanted to become, an actor. And for the actor part, I was just thinking, no matter how hungry I get, I would definitely keep pursuing acting and see if I succeed. So I was just digging with that one hole and just hoping that I succeed.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing that really strikes me and that I love is ExoKitty kind of emerges in this new era we're in of great, you know, Asian American productions. And you're seeing more and more work in this space, right? With Beef and Everything Everywhere All at Once. And now this, and the list goes on, and hopefully it will continue going on and on. For you, I'm sure you've met so many people who have shared with you what seeing the show means to them. How have those reactions impacted you? Do you feel kind of that, not the weight, but do you feel the beauty, we'll say, around that of how you're helping so many people feel seen?
You know what? I didn't really have that Asian representation thing in my mind whilst I was in Korea, because I think that was quite natural for me to think that way, because I was surrounded by Koreans, and the films or the TV, every time I turn on the TV, it would be like an Asian film or Asian TV series or whatever, like a Korean TV series. So in that sense, I didn't think that it was such a huge deal, the fact that there is a Asian face in an American series or a film that's leading or whatever. So I think I didn't really think that much, you know. I still don't think that it's like a, I think it's a huge deal, although I wouldn't consider it as like a thing where, you know, people should flaunt about it or be like, they should really say something so meaningful. Cause I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're just getting to know the faces of, you know, different actors, right? We're all human beings, like we're all people here. Doesn't matter what color you are of your skin. It's just, you know, just actors playing a role, right? So hopefully what I'm trying to say is hopefully people, the audience, will get used to the fact that, you know, there's an Asian face out there. There's just an actor there, one actress, whatever, and then just, you know, playing his role, playing a role. And hopefully, you know, the fans who watched our show grows up and be like, oh yeah, my favorite show was ExoKitty. Like, and then I bet, it'll be by then when they grow up, it's not even like a huge deal about that, about the whole Asian representation. It's more like, oh, they're just great actors. They're just great actresses. Like, that's it. Like, there's nothing more to it. And hopefully that will come up. That's the outcome I'm hoping for.
I think we're getting there. I think we are definitely getting there. That's awesome. And very interesting, your perspective going from where you were living to America and seeing how it was so common and normal there, and then hearing here how people are like, oh my God, finally we're seeing it. So I think you're hoping that that gap will be bridged, and I'm certain it will be. Okay. It's the moment of truth. You ready for it?
Go on then.
What is one thing that you have never said before?
I don't mind saying this because it's something that made me who I am. I always act confident. I'm never truly confident with what I do. Like in life, in like talking to people. This is a very huge topic I'm talking about, like it's just too broad, but if I go into the specifics, I'm never confident with talking to people and to guys or girls or like sometimes I'm not confident with myself, but I try to act confident, and that's when I think, you know, that's probably because during my childhood, I was bullied, when I was in Korea and in Hong Kong. And in Korea, back then, I was bullied because I didn't know how to speak Korean. And I got bullied from these classmates and the teacher. Ooh. And the teacher she did not want to talk to me for some reason. I was holding this dictionary, like this keypad dictionary. Like I was just like typing away like the words and like translating back to English. And I was like, oh, okay, so that's what it means. But people hated that. People think I was a foreigner, and they called me names, and I did not like that. They beat me up for that reason. So I had a horrible childhood, but I'm never ashamed to say that because, you know, that's what, you know, whatever happened in the past, this is what I am right now. And I'm pretty happy with what I am right now. Because even if I'm not truly confident, I can act like I'm confident. And, because of that, it helps me get things done and it helps me get to where, I want to be. So, you know, like, okay, for example, like, let's just say that there's this girl that I think, she's gorgeous. Like, she's so amazing, but there's no way I can talk to her like confidently. And I was put like a mask on, like for a face and be like, all right, so how are you doing? Like, I would just act like I'm like this charismatic person, but really I'm like, no, I'm actually not. I'm really quite shy. Can't do this thing, but I'm gonna go for my shot. Like, but you know, I say all this thing like as if, you know, it's a bad thing about acting confident, but you know what? Not really. People act every day in their life, right? And whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, as in like they can lie about themselves or hide their feelings and show a different mask towards the public. But sometimes I feel like, you know, it's never such a bad thing. I just said it as if it was a bad thing, but really I think acting confident, it does get you somewhere and does change your personality sometimes. Like, you know, if you keep acting confident, you know, maybe you will be confident. So yeah, you gotta fake it until you make it, right?
yeah man, that's so true. Thank you for sharing that. I think what's most interesting about that is someone will look at you and think the opposite, right? They think, oh, successful career, good looking guy, has his shit together, he's got to be confident. So when I hear people like you say stuff like that, I think it's so valuable in this day and age we're living in, because it just goes to show you cannot judge a book by its cover. You just can't.
I'm just not so ready to show my vulnerable side so easily out in public. Yeah. I'd rather be showing some good side and some confident side of it. And then like if I get close to that person, I get like I peel my onion myself and show that I have layers as well. I can be very, very vulnerable too. But yeah.
Well,
that was a lot. Yeah.
No, thank you for opening up. I mean, for someone that says, you know, he's working on his confidence and vulnerability, I would say today you were beautifully open and vulnerable. And I'm so grateful you took the time to really share something you've never said before and to have this discussion. I hope it was as fun for you as it was for me.
No, it was definitely fun. And I'm not sure if you can see it, but below this little green box here, like what we have here, my hands are like shaking. I'm like, ah.
Oh man, you are awesome. I would never know. So you have a really good poker face and I love this conversation. And I feel like, you know, if you're in New York, we have to grab a coffee and talk more. There's a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, that'll be sick. And honestly, Tommy, as I mentioned before, like this was the most impressive interview I've ever gotten so far. So thank you for this opportunity and thank you for having me. You were great.
Well,
you were sick.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out. And until we meet again.
Thank you.
I've Never Said This Before is hosted by me, Tommy D'Addario. This podcast is produced and edited by Mike Coscarelli, and executive producers are Andrew Puglisi and Katrina Norvell at iHeartRadio. I've Never Said This Before is part of the Elvis Duran Podcast Network on iHeart Podcasts. For more, rate, review, and subscribe to our show. And if you like this episode, tell your friends. Until next time, I'm Tommy D'Addario.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.